This community update was brought to you by YouRadio. As Federal Election Day approaches on April 28th, candidates across the country are sharing their visions for Canada's future. In Manitoba, residents will vote in the 14 electoral districts for their next members of parliament. UMulticultural contacted all parties running in Winnipeg in this year's election. In Winnipeg South Centre, Cam Scott is running under the banner of the Communist Party of Canada. I'm your host, Ryan Funk, and this was my conversation with him.
Cam, thank you so much for coming in. You know, the election's on the way. I guess for, you know, the people here in Winnipeg who are going to be voting, why did you want to get into politics? Let's start there.
That's a great question. I grew up in Winnipeg around spaces that are sadly no longer with us of great importance, like the A-Zone, the radical space on Albert Street there. And so much of my political education was received from a really rich left ecology. I think that what gave me the definitive push into politics was a spell of union organizing, working to unionize a bookstore that I worked at under some duress and very patiently. And since then, I have been quite active in work around police accountability and also movements for peace and disarmament and Cuba solidarity and so on. So it began in a terribly local way that concerned my own circumstances of work and living and was only enlarged from there.
You know, going in at the federal level, you'll be working with a lot of different individuals in a lot of different parties. How do you work across those party lines if you are elected to get things you feel are important to Winnipeg and Manitobans out onto that federal level?
Yeah, certainly the Communist Party is, I don't need to tell you, a very small party. We're the second oldest party in the country and have had a very important role to play in the building of the trade union movement and in the initiation of employment insurance and projects that are as yet unfinished today. They need to be expanded still. And we didn't do those alone. We were part then of mass movements. And likewise, when we think about those communists that have been elected to parliament in the past and to many other levels of government, we know that we can't do it alone. We would love to participate in what we call a progressive bloc of other left-wing parliamentarians. That would be the left of the NDP and the left of the Green Party and so on. And we could work with many other people on advancing some of the ideas that I believe are our signal contribution to this election and to Canadian politics in general. But I think that the communist contribution to that progressive milieu would be quite singular, because we also, because of our size and because of our history, we have the ability to say things that other parties are simply not able to.
So is that part of the reason why you wanted to be part of the Communist Party, that freedom to say things that, you know, maybe doesn't fall within the lines of the other parties? Because, you know, when you're going in a smaller party, you don't necessarily have the name recognition that you would of a Liberal Party, the NDP, or the PCs.
Absolutely, yes. We're not so much part of the standard political brokerage. You know, the Communist Party has a very long tradition, again, of work in the peace movements and the trade unions, and our focus isn't strictly electoral. So we're often knocking on people's doors and they say, I didn't know that Canada had a Communist Party. And we have to, you know, give the little history lesson on the spot. But at the same time, we're active elsewhere every day in between elections. So what drew me to the Communist Party specifically was the intensity of work, again, within the labor movement and within the broad movement for peace and disarmament and so on. And then every 4 years there's an election and we have this chance to talk to people about what we're otherwise doing every day. So it's partly that we can make a terribly uncompromised contribution to the political discourse around an election year, but also that it's a site of work every other day, and we're really in the people's struggles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With these constant back and forths of tariffs, you know, in that conversation, you know, you're in the House of Commons and you're having those conversations with your fellow individuals there. You know, if you're elected and you're there in the House of Commons, you know, having these conversations of the pressing issues facing Canadians, you know, with those tariffs, you know, it's adding on to the continued cost of living and inflation that people have been experiencing over the past few decades. So in that conversation, what are some key things that you would address and bring up to your colleagues?
Yeah, well, the present, the present recessionary crisis that is going to be brought about by these tariffs, and, you know, they're changing by the day. It's so erratic, it's very hard to track. This cudgel that the tariffs have become is only the sequel to years and years and years of acute crises of grocery prices, rents, people can't afford food and fuel and so on, amid record profits for the grocery monopolies, for Canada's grocery CEOs. This adjoins an ongoing cost of living crisis that we were campaigning around for several years preceding. So the things that I should like to keep on the agenda in that conversation have to do, again, not with tariffs on tariffs on tariffs, counter tariffs and so on, and these these blunt tools that are, as you say, inevitably going to be passed on to the consumer as an added expense. Our vision for Canadian economic and political independence would be based in public ownership and in, you know, good value-added jobs in the public sector in Canada, investment in this area that we haven't seen for decades of rollback and austerity and privatization. We know that the government has the power to take food, fuel, and rents, these prices in hand. They've done it before. So we would have to enact price controls on all the necessaries of daily life. We would have to enact rent controls. Things like this should be federally legislated.
Oh yeah, that's my kind of a follow-up for there, the housing crisis. You know, the parties have all come out with different variations of how they would approach it. You know, when you're looking at how do we ensure that every Canadian has a place to live, what is that conversation for you? What are some strategies that you would bring to the table?
Well, there's this endless passing of the buck. It's been a long time since the federal government invested in high quality public housing at all. This is a provincial responsibility. Various housing benefits are passed down to the provinces for distribution, and typically for distribution to private capitals. You know, they carve out a certain amount of space that is given over to affordable housing. And this is an unacceptable euphemism at this point, because affordable is typically determined with reference to market rents. And we call for rent geared to income housing. The rent should never be more than a small percentage of a tenant's income, and it shouldn't be fixed to market value, which is speculative in the first place and always going up. Also, we need to see millions of units of publicly owned housing created from coast to coast. Certainly in Canada, there's an acute housing crisis everywhere. In Winnipeg, the numbers are staggering. You know, the conservative estimates are several thousand, and it's often an invisible problem because precarious housing, you know, it doesn't always manifest at street level, but there's so many people who are couch surfing and being evicted from very, very short-term rentals. So what we need tomorrow is millions of units of federally subsidized rent geared to income public housing. And this is an employment opportunity as well.
While recognizing strategic voting pressures, Scott encourages voters to consider alternatives and vote their convictions. Canadians will vote in the 45th general election on Monday, April 28th, 2025. According to estimates, 7.3 million electors voted at advance polls. UMultiCultural contacted all parties running in Winnipeg. As of this recording, the only other candidate to respond was Gary Gervais, running for the Green Party in Winnipeg Central. With UMultiCultural and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ryan Funk.